All right. He is risen. That's right. Now, if you'll take your copy of God's Word, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And now I'm going to ask that you would please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word if you are able to do so. 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 8. We're looking at Paul's letter, the second letter here to Timothy. And he begins by saying, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. You may be seated. I'd like to begin today by asking a question. Have you ever had someone tell you something and then say the words, pass it on? Ever had somebody do that? Well, what are they trying to do? Or what are they doing when they say that? What they're really doing is taking a message and placing it into your very capable hands, right? Trusting and hoping that you will carry that message on to the next person. Right? It's like the Olympics. Okay? Yesterday we went down and watched our son Isaac run track. And you get thinking about the Olympics, and the Olympics have a torch. Do you know that? It's called the Olympic torch. If you've ever watched the Olympic ceremonies, you've seen the Olympic flame, right? It's being passed on from runner to runner until finally it reaches the destination or the location of the next Olympic Games. It's a process known as passing of the torch. Okay. Well, the same idea applies to the Christian faith. And today, this Mother's Day, we're going to talk a bit about the passing on of the torch of godly faith from one generation to the next. Now, in this day and age, especially in our culture, when we talk about motherhood, there's a lie, a misconception that says, any woman who expresses the desire to focus on her God-given motherly responsibilities within the home is a failure. That's the misconception that we see. The feminist movement of our time, which really has as its goal not so much to benefit women as it is to tear down or abolish the idea of gender roles, gender differences. That movement is really an all-out attack on the sovereign God and his created order. It's pure and simple rebellion is what it is. And one of the ways that it attacks is by shaming those women who choose to fulfill their God-given and so vitally important responsibilities of caring for their families and for their homes. Right? The idea that the mother, to the glory of God, and like both parents, the idea that she should sacrifice for the good of their family and as a testimony of their faith, that idea to the feminist is nothing to be proud of. As a matter of fact, the feminist would consider that to be downright embarrassing. But folks, nothing could be further from the truth. Being a godly mother is an extra special calling. It's a calling of Almighty God which deserves recognition and it deserves honor. Excuse me. And today, I'd like us to do just that. Okay? We're going to glorify God by turning our attention to and honoring the mothers which God has so wisely and sovereignly blessed us with. Now, excuse me. If you've ever heard this term, mama's boy, anybody ever heard that term? What is that? What thoughts does that bring to mind? You think about mama's boy, right? Not very many men would admit that they're a mama's boy. Well, guess what? I'll admit it. I was a mama's boy. Okay? I had a very special relationship with my mother. Some would say I was the favorite child. Right? And I'll own up to that, being the favorite child. But I'm sure most men have a very special relationship with their mother, don't they? And the evidence I would cite for that would be each and every Sunday or Monday night, during the fall season, when you turn on the TV and you see professional football playing, right? If you watch professional football games, you'll notice that the camera pans to the sidelines, right? And here are these gigantic men, these rough and tumble men, sitting on the bench. They're battered, they're bruised from head to toe, right? They're just pounding on each other. Pan to the sidelines, and they're sitting there trying to figure out what the next move is and next play and this and that. And the camera turns to them, and what do they say? Hi, Mom. Right? Hi, Mom. You never see hi, Dad. Now, why is that? Well, that's because no influence is greater or more impactful on a child, whether male or female, than a mother's influence. Right? And that's the very important truth that the term mama's boy reminds us of. I personally can remember a time when I was disgusted with my mom. Ah, she wasn't letting me have my way. Right? And I deserved to have my way all the time, is what I thought as a kid. But I was so disgusted, and I remember throwing a fit, temper tantrum. And I can almost hear her say, "Who loves you more than your mama?" She said those words, "Who loves you more than your mama?" And of course, the answer she was looking for was no one. And a mother's love is like no other. As a matter of fact, a mother's love is the greatest picture on earth, aside from the loving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But a mother's love is the greatest picture on earth of what the love of God for his children truly looks like. So today, again, I would like us to consider how a godly mother influences her family, and she does so in many profound ways. And I'll begin with the fact that a godly mother is one who is a student of God's Word as well as a prayer warrior. Okay, I'm going to say that again because this is important. A godly mother is one who is a student of God's Word as well as a prayer warrior. In other words, the godly mother is one who, like those Olympic runners with the torch, the godly mother is one who passes the torch of her faith through her godly example as she reads and studies God's inerrant, infallible, eternal word. She grows in the knowledge of her Lord and Savior. Right? She believes and faithfully adheres to verses such as 2 Timothy 2:15, which says to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth. Right? A godly mother believes and faithfully adheres to that. A godly woman believes and faithfully adheres to that. Right? And she is one who allows the word of Christ to dwell in her richly, in all wisdom, as it says, so that she is able to faithfully teach and admonish her children in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as she sings with grace in her heart to her Lord. It's Colossians 3:16. Right? The godly mother understands the power She understands the importance of God's word in her life, as well as in the lives of those in her family. And she understands Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, which says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And she has the determination of the heart, which leads her to say, as Job says in Job 23, 12, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's what a godly woman looks like. And she is a woman of prayer who understands that true prayer is worship. It's worshipful. It's worshiping Almighty God. It's the Greek word that is so often used, prosuke. It is an exchange of her wishes, of her desires, for the sovereign will of her loving Lord. And she, by God's gracious gift of faith, has the confidence that if she asks anything according to God's sovereign will, God will hear her prayer and will answer that prayer with a resounding yes. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And the godly woman, the godly mother, understands and conveys to her children that as a follower of Christ, she has the great privilege of seeking the Lord and seeking His strength, right? And that's a privilege that is, for the believer, eternal. 1 Chronicles 16:11. And she encourages her children to also follow after Christ, knowing that, as Jeremiah 29:12 says, when they, the children, call upon the Lord in prayer, He will listen to them as well. And what an amazing testimony that is. Right? The godly mother realizes that her God-ordained purpose in life is to glorify her Lord and Master, which involves studying God's Word, and it involves prayer, because the Word of God instructs her. It helps her to become a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly woman. And through prayer, she finds the strength of God to carry out or to obey those instructions, right? She's in the Word, and she's in prayer. Which naturally leads us to the question today, moms, ladies, are you in the Word? And are you in prayer on a consistent basis? Another way a godly mother influences her children and family is by her example of trust. Trust in the Lord. Right? She trusts Him for everything, for every need. And this is a result of the fact that she has grown in her knowledge of who God is, because she has been in the Word. And she is a woman of prayer. She meditates on Scripture. Right? And she understands that as a blood-bought follower of Christ, she has a firm foundation upon which to stand. A foundation in whom she can trust forever. And in whom she will find the everlasting strength to live a God-honoring life. Isaiah 26:4. And she conveys to her children the truth of Jeremiah 17:7. And I hope you're writing these verses down. If not, listen to the podcast later so you can. But she conveys the truth of Jeremiah 17:7, which says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord," or the woman who trusts in the Lord, "and whose hope is in the Lord." And that if they will fear the Lord and trust in Him, they will find that He will be a help and a shield to them. Psalm 115, verse 11. So the godly mother, because she is in God's Word and prayer, will not only come to know God's promises, but will also be blessed with the confidence, with the faith that God will faithfully keep His promises. and will meet both her needs and the needs of her family, whether physical, spiritual, or emotional. Right? The godly mother teaches her children that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, Psalm 118, verses 8 to 9. And that, as it says in Matthew 6, 32 and 33, if they will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of their needs will be met by God, who is absolutely faithful and always will be absolutely faithful. Right? The godly mother, the godly woman, has as her focus the sufficiency of God. And she is content. She is content with whatever God sees fit to provide for and or withhold from her and her family. Right? She understands and models the truth that she is not in and of herself sufficient for anything. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 5 and 6. And that as God says in 2 Corinthians 12, 8, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, the godly mother, the godly woman knows and teaches her children that the only thing anyone has to boast in is the power of Christ, which rests upon each and every believer, each and every follower of Christ. And that it is God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 8, 9, it is God who is able to make all grace abound to her, so that in all things, at all times, having all that she and her family needs, she will be able to abound in every good work. Right? The godly mother, the godly woman focuses on and models to her family the fact of God's sufficiency. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Next, the godly mother is generous. Right? The godly mother, godly woman is generous. She understands and teaches to her children the truth that is found in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9, which says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Therefore, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know, I've mentioned this before. I was blessed with a mother who understood the importance of generosity and hospitality. She understood what it felt like to lack, to have need. As growing up, they had nothing. Virtually nothing. When the police would find a drifter or a hitchhiker, they would bring them to our house sometimes in the wee hours of the night, and my mother would share what little we had with those people, making them a warm meal, giving them a comfortable bed to sleep for the night. Right? And nothing screamed Christ-likeness more to me than that example of generosity and hospitality. Now, at the time, I was a selfish little brat. And sometimes I still am. But at that time, I was a selfish little brat. And of course, I didn't realize exactly what was going on. But now I look back on it and I see. And at the time, I did to a certain extent as well. I knew it was right, the right thing to do. But I look back and I see the generosity, the hospitality. She modeled and taught her children, me especially, through her faithful, God-honoring actions, the truth of 1 John 3:17, which says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And in Hebrews 13:16, which says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He was well pleased many times with my mother and her generosity and hospitality. And folks, a godly mother, even if she has very little to share, willingly offers it to others. And she does so because she realizes that it is her responsibility and really a great privilege to model and represent Christ, both to her family and to others. Galatians 6:2 says that we as Christian believers, men and women, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what the godly mother teaches her children. And by the way, that sharing and that bearing does not just involve physical generosity. It also involves the generous sharing of immaterial things, such as encouragement. And how many of us know that there's nothing more encouraging than the words of support and love from a godly mother? Right? When someone, whether a child or a husband, is seeking validation or support and the confidence to move forward in life, to follow after God's will, they most often will find it in the words of their mother or their wife. But sadly, especially nowadays, too many mothers and or wives take that opportunity to criticize, to put down, to squash the security of their children and their husbands because it gives them a feeling of empowerment and dominance because they've given in to the lies of the feminist movement. You know, I've talked about my mother and how great of an example of Christ-likeness she was to me and my family, but she also, because she was human and prone to sin, like the rest of us, she would fall at times. She wasn't perfect. I remember graduating from college before seminary, and my mom, in a moment of weakness and uncertainty in her own life, and I recognized that, she said to me, well, you can't do anything with that degree. It's like, okay, I just graduated from college, got my degree. In other words, that was a worthless degree to get, which served to diminish my accomplishment. Right? It served to cast doubt in my mind as to my intelligence, my ability to be successful in whatever endeavor I would undertake. Right? Now, I knew that she loved me, and she was just going through a time of concern about my future. Moms do that. Right? But those words were like a knife. They cut. Right? So mothers, wives, be very careful with your words. Because they have the power to greatly build up a child and or a husband, but they also have the power to devastate them and tear them down. A godly mother will show Christ-like generosity by sharing both material and immaterial things. Now, just a disclaimer here. Sometimes the words of encouragement are not fun to hear from our perspective, right? Or, for that matter, to deliver from the mother's perspective. In other words, they may be much-needed words of rebuke and or correction, yet if they are delivered prayerfully and in a spirit of godly love, they will have the same God-honoring effect. Right? So, basically, what that means is we can't always go around claiming to be a victim when somebody criticizes us, especially when our mothers do, right? A godly mother's example of generosity towards her family and others sets a pattern for her children to follow in her footsteps. Next, a godly mother is one who is obedient to God. This is huge. They're obedient to God. In other words, she understands that obedience to God and His Word honors God. and is also profitable for both her and for her family, right? She gets it. She understands that. She understands that her faithful obedience to God and His word is evidence to her children, to her husband, and to those outside of her family. It's evidence of her love for her Lord, Savior, and Master. John 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Right? And really, this applies to all of us as followers of Christ today. So the question is, are we giving evidence of our love for our Lord Jesus Christ by our faithful obedience to the Word of God? Do we even read the Word of God so as to find out how we are to obey? Right? The godly mother loves her Lord and understands that her faithful obedience is evidence of that love. And she also understands who it is that she is obeying. She is obeying the all-powerful, omniscient, loving God in whom she can trust. And she understands that merely hearing the word and not obeying it is of no benefit to her or to her family. Therefore, her goal is to obey the Lord and leave the consequences of her obedience to the Lord. Right? And as she does that, she is reminded of the truth of God's word, which says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Which means that her home will be characterized by an atmosphere of peace and love, because she is not stressed out or enslaved by worry. She trusts and obeys her sovereign Lord. Right? The godly mother, the godly woman, has a God-given faith, a trust which has been cultivated by time spent in the Word and in prayer, and which has been strengthened through those circumstances of life which serve to confirm the faithfulness of God. Next, a godly mother models an attitude of forgiveness. Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Right? Folks, forgiveness is essential for every Christian believer. It is to be a dominant characteristic in their life. And those who refuse to forgive will have lives characterized by stress and conflict and an absence of peace. Right? The godly mother understands this. And she understands that because of the potential for conflict in any family, forgiveness is vital to the overall peace within that family. And that peace, coupled with love, is a powerful testimony, right? It is evidence to the saving grace and the power of God. A godly mother is characterized by servanthood. This is not a popular one in today's culture. Nobody likes the word servant. But again, this is a quality that all believers in Christ should have, because you know what? Christ was a servant. He even called himself a servant. Mark 10:45, where he says, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Right? The godly mother understands and teaches her children that, as it says in Hebrews 6, 10 and 11, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, right? In other words, she encourages her children. She encourages her family with the truth that God sees and faithfully rewards those who serve others, those who place the welfare of others ahead of their own. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Right? The godly mother does not seek a reward for her faithful service to her family and others either. And she doesn't serve only when it's convenient for her. Because she understands that in faithfully serving her children or her family, her husband, and others, she is actually, and more importantly, faithfully serving her Lord. And then finally, the godly mother loves unconditionally. Right? She teaches her children to do the same. In Titus 2, 1 through 5, Paul gives a brief description of what a sound church looks like. Titus 2, 1 through 5 says this, "As for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience." Verse 3, "The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Right? The godly mother's love is not conditionally based upon the behavior of her children or her husband. Rather, it is given without reservation. And by her godly example, she shows her children how they too can love unconditionally. In Isaiah 66:13, the Lord says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I, the Lord, will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And in Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I, the Lord, will not forget you." Right? Again, the idea here, like we said before, is that the mother's love is an earthly picture of the kind of love with which God loves his people, his children. An unconditional love is honoring and glorifying to God, and it never stops loving. It never gives up. So mothers today, and fathers, but mothers today especially, godly women, you need to take seriously your God-given responsibility to pass on the torch of your faith to the next generation, to your children and or your grandchildren, to your loved ones, seeking to build up your husbands. To do so by first praying for your family. Consistently, constantly lifting them up before Almighty God, seeking His will to be done in their and your life, and then by being an example of one who is a student of God's Word. A godly mother is to be honored and praised to the glory of God. So let's make sure that we're taking time to honor those mothers in our life, and to glorify God in the process. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the truth of your word. It is so full of rich truths that we can apply to our lives. We thank you so much. Father, this Mother's Day, I just want to thank you for the mothers that you have placed in our lives. And I pray a special blessing upon them. And that blessing specifically, Lord, is that you would draw them near to you. You would reveal to them in a deeper way who you are. And that you would encourage them through your word, through the answers of prayer, and through the rest of us. Use us to encourage them to faithfully serve you, to obey you, to be godly women of faith. Thank you so much for your word and for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.